Hello and welcome to the Clemson Communication Connection.
Today we have with us one of Clemson's success stories. Dr. Rosemary Thomas joins us today to tell us about her testimonial and what she is doing today as one of the top presidents of a university here in our nation. Dr. Thomas, welcome.
Thank you so much, Katie. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much for making time for us this morning. Tell us a little bit about your trajectory at Clemson to begin with. Who is Rosemary Thomas? Who was she as a student? Let's start with that.
Well, that is one of my favorite stories of my life. And it was something that was given to me by my parents, the opportunity for this Clemson education that started me down a path of a career in higher education. I would say the people most responsible were those in the administration at Clemson who took me under their wing. I had the opportunity to work very closely with President Max Lennon and his wife, Ruth, with Gary Ransdale and his wife, Julie, General Hugh Clawson and his wife, Betty. And truly, all of that came together in a way that Pam and David DeFreitas made possible for me as a presidential intern and as an active member on campus. But I would say it all started when I was choosing a school, and I chose Clemson as one of the best of the best. And when I went there, I thought, you know, I've got to focus on my grades. I'm far away from home. I was about 9 hours from home, and I focused really hard on that the first year and then found myself right back in the normal path of Rosemary Thomas. And that was actively engaged across campus and around the community. So student government, I was the student representative on the Clemson Chamber of Commerce, worked with the Area United Way and all those types of things. So Clemson gave me an opportunity to shape my own future by continuing along the lines of what I love to do best, and that is to be involved, be engaged, and be a lifelong learner.
That's a wonderful testimonial, Dr. Thomas. Thank you for sharing that, and a true example of how important it is to be involved. And speaking of involvement, now you are in charge of a university. You are the 24th president of Chauwan University. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Congratulations, first of all. Can you share with us what initially drew you to this role and what your vision is for this institution?
Well, thank you so much for the congratulatory remarks there. It was definitely a journey. I had been tapped for a couple of other presidential searches and was very fortunate that the search firm that was called upon to lead the Chauwan search reached out to me and said, would you be willing to take a look at a university that is making a pivot, that is changing who they are? They've had to change themselves before and reinvent themselves, but now this one is critical. And they need someone with energy, enthusiasm, and a vision for the future. Well, when I heard all of that, I was very flattered that I was the phone call they made and put my hat into the ring and began the interview process. And I will tell you that when I met the people on the search committee, I called my mom when I left the room and I said, well, I can tell you one thing. The people in that room love Chauwan University and they believe in the future. And I said, I do too. And I want to move forward in this search and this opportunity. And as I met more people, as I met the faculty, as I met the staff, and certainly as I connected with the students along the way, I could tell that this was a place that was focused not only on the traditions that they had and that they believed in, but also in the vision that they desperately wanted and needed for what the future might look like. Funny enough, it harkens back to my days at Clemson when at that time, Dr. Jerry Reel was chairing the Centennial Committee, and I was invited to be on it. And the Centennial campaign at Clemson was tradition and vision. And that has stuck with me through my years and as a leader, as a volunteer, and all of those types of things. And it really just held me to a standard that you have to honor the traditions, but you also have to have the vision for the future. So again, a little Clemson seed that was planted back in 1986 through 90. So there you go.
Well, that's very inspirational, and it's also very telling of your work ethic, because to be able to move forward, you have to keep the tradition. But as you said, being a visionary is very important. How do you think that your leadership was instrumental in completing millions of dollars of fundraising at previous institutions? And what strategies did you employ to achieve these milestones? Because I know that you talked about leadership and we mentioned being a visionary. What else does it take to be able to raise so much in academia?
Well, you know, I think the key to it is you have to believe in what you're asking people to contribute to. So it's very difficult, even in tough economic times, to get people to help in what I would consider the day-to-day operations. They really want to make an investment in something that they believe will serve not only today, but will serve the future. And I think that the key is we really have to meet donors where they are. We have to ask them, what kind of legacy would you like to leave? And I think you ask them that, even if you're asking them for a small amount of money to start their giving, or if you're asking them for a much larger amount of money to truly establish their legacy. Because the situation that I have found is you have to entice people to start giving, and then you have to steward them in a way that they understand and can see where their money's going. So, you know, one of the things I learned at Clemson through Gary Ransdale and Max Lennon was it has to be a team approach. It has to be a team approach to fundraising and to development and to growing people's opportunity to give. And so talking with people, listening to people, being accountable for every dollar that they're giving to the university, I think is truly critical.
The explanation truly brings together your background on developing also leaders, because you're working as a team member, but now you are in charge of motivating people who are in the same system and believing and giving back and leaving and planting a legacy. How do you plan on fostering these leadership skills among students and staff at Chauhan University?
You know, I think the whole notion of leadership is that you have to empower people, because we have learned as leaders growing up that you can't demand respect. The title doesn't come with automatic respect, but you have to teach leaders in their development stages how to empower them and give them a voice, but to encourage them to build that team around them by earning their respect, by earning their trust, and by making sure that you are listening twice as much as you're talking. And that's really it. With the ratio from two ears and one mouth, it really makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And so what I want to do with these students is to help them understand that they're empowered. And one of my favorite things to say, and I believe it, people said it to me when I was younger. People talk about young people, whether they be high school, college, whatever, and they say, you're the leaders of tomorrow. Well, honestly, Katie, I disagree with that. They're the leaders of today where they are. And I think for them to grow as leaders, they have to understand that they've really already done it. Whether they're in scouting, whether they're on athletic teams, whether they're involved in the arts, they've taken on some sort of leadership role if they're looking to take on another one. Perhaps they're just a leader in their home, among their family or their siblings. And I think that that's really important. One of the things that we're doing at Chauhan that I think is not necessarily unique, but it's certainly new for us as part of our pivot, leadership development is one of the tenets that we are committed to. And that we have taken a step away from the traditional student government association as far as being the leadership structure on campus. And we're creating a leadership council that pulls together leaders from all different areas of the campus to have sort of that activity, almost more like a student senate, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we think that this will give those young people opportunities to step forward to truly be leaders, because not only are they there to because they've been elected or selected, but they're actually representing the voices of other people that have entrusted them with that and putting them in a place to carry forth and represent their needs, their desires, and their priorities.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing opportunity to create that path to doing bigger things at your university and also to build their experience before they graduate. Along those lines, do they get to meet you if students want to meet the president? You know, how do they go about that? And what accessibility do your faculty have as well?
Well, you know, it's funny you asked that question because just in the last 24 hours, we were putting together the final schedule for Welcome Week. And we're going to do the Welcome Week with the faculty and the staff who will be coming in a week before the students. Our residents, life assistants will be our RAs will be coming in to get things ready for our residents, life folks. And then, of course, the freshmen will come. I think we've put 6 different events on the calendar at the president's home. I want to host them in a casual environment. I want them to know that I'm accessible to them, and I want them to be accessible to me. And one of the things I said, you know, I started mid-March, and so I was only there a couple of months before graduation. And in my message to the graduating class, what I said to them was, thank you. Thank you for looking up from your phone or taking your ear pods out as we passed when we walked across campus, because you took a minute just to say hello. And a lot of the students came to me and they said, but you took a minute to say hello to us too. And, you know, I think that's critically important. It's got to be a dialogue. It's got to be an interaction and an engagement. I plan on hosting monthly meetings on campus with faculty and staff, sort of a fireside chat, if you will, to allow them an opportunity to share with me what they need to share, what they want to share. Certainly, I have some faculty coming to me. We're going through some changes right now on campus, obviously, and they ask if they could come to me and talk about some ideas they had, and I welcomed that. And they said, you let us know when. And first opportunity, I said, how about Monday? And so we're going to get together. I had the opportunity the other day to go out to a softball camp that was taking place with 3 different high school teams from around the region. They were playing a bit of a round robin and doing some skills clinics. And I talked to those young women and their parents came over who were on the fence line and their coaches. And I will say, to me, that was the right thing to do. And that was a normal way to approach having high school students on our campus, trying to recruit them for the future of Chowan. But I got some notes from their parents that said, thank you so much for taking time. We'll be part of this Chowan family just as soon as we can. And we know that you'll be involved in our daughter's future. So, you know, Katie, I think it's a matter of practicing what we preach or putting best practices into place. And I will say, back to those names I mentioned at Clemson, those folks were accessible to me and I to them. And that made all the difference.
That is also a true story of empowerment, and it bridges the next topic because you mentioned families and the families that you're getting to meet and the connections that you are establishing in your short time at Chowan University. How do you find balance? You're the president of a university. You know, you mentioned that you travel with family to different conferences. What are you doing to balance and to be the best leader you can at your new job?
You know, I think the best way to balance is to lead both with your head and your heart. And sometimes they say, well, you have to keep emotions out of it. But I think that really we also have to consider our emotional well-being and our emotional health and mental health and all of that. And really, the balance is what I get when I fill my tank up by doing service, by going above and beyond. You know, I take very seriously the responsibilities of my job, and certainly those are the priorities because I have a university that is depending on me and has put their trust in my leadership and what I am responsible for doing. But I truly believe that filling my tank by jumping into whatever Relay for Life has going on in the area, jumping into whatever's happening at church that Sunday or throughout that week. We have something coming up in town, a huge watermelon festival that they have. And they're like, now here's what we need you to do. We need you to be at the welcome tent and we need you to do this and we need you to do that. And I'm just like, absolutely. That is what I need to do. Because I believe if the people of the town are saying, this is what we need you to do, then truly they're trying to set not only me up for success, but set Chowon up for success as well by having that positive visibility. And you asked me about fundraising earlier. I can't always go with my hand out. I have to be able to provide that hand up to other people on behalf of not only Chowon University, but on behalf of Rosemary Thomas, because that makes me feel good as a person and as a professional.
Dr. Rosemary Thomas, and that's because you love what you do, and that comes through very clearly in this conversation. Looking forward, what are your primary goals for Chowon University over the next 5 years, and how do you plan to achieve them while maintaining the institution's commitment to life skills and Christian education?
You know, I think we really have to be committed to building on our traditions, and you mentioned the Christian education. That's the tradition. The liberal arts education, that's the tradition. The small size, the feel of campus, the family atmosphere that's there, people not getting lost, not being just a number. Those are the traditions that made Chowon who it is today. It's what has allowed them to survive in some difficult times. And then I think what we need to do as far as the future is develop the Chowon story so that we can prove to students that we are living our brand promise. And that brand promise is where that whole notion of life skills comes in. Because I think that what's happening today is with people questioning the value of higher education, they question it because they question the practicality of it and where common sense fits in. And I think that a future Chowon is a university that is true to its values, that is true to its history, but that is prepared to pivot toward a future that has to help students improve communicating effectively, problem solving effectively, being coachable, having the technical competency to excel in this world, and just developing their professionalism and who they are. So I think that what, if I were to summarize my vision, it is to stay true to the values, also to stay true to the place. We need to put our flag in the ground that we are the hometown university for this area of Eastern, Northeastern, North Carolina, but also the vision I have 5 years from now. I hope you and I can have a conversation and I can tell you, we've got that hometown feel. It's alive and well. We've increased our number of hometown students, but we've also expanded to address the global market, to address all of the opportunities that students from around the country and around the globe can partake in at Chowon University. They will feel welcome, they will feel wanted, and they will be able to grow as individuals, as Christians, as those who have experienced their spiritual growth in any number of ways, because we are welcoming to all, but certainly those who understand what it means to us to be Chowon University.
Wow, Dr. Rosemary Thomas from Chowon University, you have been an inspiration to me, and I wish you much success. And I do hope that we have a conversation in 5 years and all of your goals and more have been accomplished. I wish you the best. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Katie.